way, or even on a larger scale, nations who are allied to one another, allies, you know, compatriots, brothers in arms kind of things. People, when they invite people to their homes, are expressing hesed to those they invite in to feed them and care for them. Part of washing the feet in the ancient world and serving that way is a demonstration of hesed. They didn't charge to be washing their feet. You just did it. Well, plus it kept your dirt floors clean. I don't know what it did. Divine hesed, however, is vastly different in that it's freely given. There is no reciprocity. There is no you owe me one. It is free from obligation. And sometimes we think that God owes us. You see, God entered into covenants with his people. If you do this, I will do that. If you do this, I will be your God and you will be my people. There's covenant, and if covenant is broken, there's consequence. That's not hesed. We think sometimes that the way God has worked in the Old Testament and with the law and with even the commands of the New Testament, that he's committed to those commands to such a degree that if we keep him, then he loves us. But that's misunderstanding this word. God loves us freely, and so he enters into relationship with us and promises his half of the covenant. This is the cup of my blood, the blood of a new covenant. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. God did that freely, without obligation. He didn't have to do any of it. And the psalmist says, give thanks to the Lord for his hesed. God is loyal to you even when you're not. And it's not conditioned upon your loyalty to him. It is freely given. The New Testament reflex of that, as one guy said, is God is love. It is his divine nature to be hesed, to be free. I can't overemphasize this. And let Israel, let Aaron, let everyone who fears the Lord say his hesed lasts forever. His loyal love. How does that apply? What does that do? If you were to mull that over, percolate, let that get from your ears down to your heart. What is it, 16-inch trip, 8-inch trip? I don't know. To know that God's loyal love is towards those who fear him, would it cause you to be thankful? How many of you have ever been dumped by a boyfriend or a girlfriend? You ever been, you know, just... And it used to be terrible when I was young, which was like, you know, thousands of years ago. You know, they had friends break up with you then. Yeah, she don't like you no more. Yeah, okay, thank you very much. Great, you did that in the middle of a hall. Have a nice day. Now they just do it in a text message. And then the girl, she has like 700 Instagram pictures and you know, memes with words about loyalty she's ready to post. You know, as soon as he does that to her, or vice versa, or whatever, right? And you know what they speak about? Loyalty. Because we all crave it. God is. He has loyal love. And he's the source. And he's the only one that's never going to send you a text to break up with you. Okay, that's a silly example, but it's right. It's how it works. And so the psalmist starts and he calls us and he says, give thanks to the Lord because of his loyal love. And then he goes on in verses 5 through 19, crazy stuff here. And he's got this personal story. Now, we don't know who it is, but we know something's wrong. From my distress, I called upon the Lord. And he's telling somebody his story. Not only is almost everyone called, but you got to tell someone your personal story. Now, you will notice as we go through this, there ain't a lot of detail here. I'm not asking you to pour your heart out to someone with all the gory details of everything. Neither is the psalmist, but he tells the story. Look, he says, out of my distress, I called upon the Lord. And the Lord answered me and set me in a large place. Now, we're going to come back to that because I'm going to unpack that. But there are others in there. The Lord is for me. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is for me among those who helped me. Therefore, I will look with satisfaction on those who hate me. Distress and hate. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It's better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. I think the verse was high officials that Steve said, or that Phil read. All nations surrounded me. Okay, now we got a national problem of enemies coming around. In the name of the Lord, I will surely cut them off. They surrounded me. Yes, they surrounded me. He surrounded. In the name of the Lord, I will surely cut them off. They surrounded me like bees. Okay, we kind of understand this one. Okay, I've been out with Bauer honey, and I had my protective vest on pulling honey, and bees don't like it when you take their honey away from them. They kind of swarm around you. And did you know that you can get stung through denim jeans? You can get stung through you can get stung through zippers. They're amazing little creatures. They surrounded me like bees. They were extinguished as a fire of thorns. In the name of the Lord, I will surely cut them off. You punished me violently so that I was falling, but the Lord helped me. You pushed me. The Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. The sound of joyful shouting and salvation is in the tent of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I will not die but live and tell of the works of the Lord. The Lord has disciplined me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I shall enter through them. I shall give thanks to the Lord. Every child of God has a personal story. Every child of God has a personal story. This one that the psalmist has here tells us about distress and being surrounded and pushed and disciplined. Now, specifically, he went from distress to a large place. The word distress here is constricted. He's in a very narrow strait. He's in a strait jacket. He can't move. Something has got him bound up. To such a degree that he feels constricted and controlled. There is no way for him to move. I don't know what it is. We don't know what it is. See, the gory details of it aren't given to us. They might not even be gory for all I know. The details aren't given to us. But this is how he feels. Have you ever experienced that kind of binding where you just can't breathe anymore? Maybe it's official. Maybe it's panic attacks. Maybe it's a financial debt that balloon payment is coming, and maybe it's the contract. I don't know. The psalmist doesn't tell us. It doesn't matter. It's part of your story. He's in distress, and then he says, the Lord picked me up and put me into a large place. Okay, large place, open field, unrestricted, room to breathe. Okay, one of my friends here says he doesn't want to own all the property in the world. He just wants to own that which is adjacent to his. You know, if your nearest neighbor is a mile away, that's just a little too close. You can still see their lights at night. Okay, that's a large place. And if you live out in the country and you have a little bit of a spread, you get this. But he's also surrounded. And it says that the Lord extinguished. Where is it? He set me in a large place, fear, satisfaction, hate. It's better to take refuge. All nations surrounded me. I will cut them off. They surrounded me. I was surrounded like bees. They were extinguished as a fire from thorns. In the name of the Lord, I will surely cut them off. It was God who cut them off by his name through the psalmist. And then the psalmist also experienced that push. You pushed me violently. Now, I know that we have anti-bullying campaigns, and I don't really know if this goes on anymore, but when I was little, you know, grade school and high school, junior high and that kind of stuff, the bullies in the class, they didn't just pick on you verbally. You got out to the playground, and both of their hands slammed on your chest until you went down. Do they do that anymore? No, they don't. That's good. Okay, but it's a violent push, and you go down, and there's no hope of you not going down. I mean, that's what the big kid used to do. And then he got on top of you and, you know, punch you in the face a couple times or hit you in the belly or, you know. I remember one kid, when after he knocked me down, he didn't punch me or push me, but he took his knee, and he got down on me, and he pushed it into my belly until I threw up. I mean, he just got his knee right into my, you know what I mean? So, yeah, it was kind of gross, but pushed violently. The psalmist was pushed violently. And then what does he say? Look at, this is beautiful. He said, Lord, you are my strength. You are my song. You have become my salvation. And then he says that the Lord disciplined him, but it wasn't to the point of death. Sometimes we experience that. God disciplines us. You know, when we're wayward and he calls us back and we don't die. Okay, the psalmist experienced something severe from Almighty God, but he didn't end his life. The discipline of the Lord. But in all of this, in the personal story, did you notice? I hope you noticed something that I'm considering to be essential. Something critically important to the telling of your personal story. So when you do engage someone and tell them your personal story, leaving the detail, so to speak for themselves, but identifying the trouble, you can do that in a couple of ways, beloved. You can specifically share with someone who doesn't know the Lord, who almost is called, and bring them Christ and show them the loving kindness of Christ. But God demonstrates his own love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You can do that in your personal story. Or you can encourage a brother or sister in Christ by bearing one another's burdens. When there's trouble in your life, when something is going on, when you're distressed or surrounded or afflicted or needy, like last week, and you share with the body of Christ, a brother and sister in Christ, and let them know what it is that you're burdened with and how you're experiencing life, whether it's the discipline of the Lord or surrounded by an enemy, so that they might join with you and be, like the psalmist says, the Lord is for me among those who help me. God never intended, beloved, for us to go through our struggles alone. And you're not alone. But what's the essential thing? As you read this psalm in giving thanks to him, do you notice the high view of Almighty God? How high the Lord is lifted up? How the person who is not ignoring their distress and their situation and the things that have gone has a view of Almighty God that is absolutely stunning. It's way up there. And it draws the psalmist up there as he looks. You might be able to share your personal story, tell someone your personal story, for them to be encouraged in their faith, for them to come to faith in Christ. But in all of it, be prepared and get ready or get with the Thanksgiving program. Don't forget in telling your story to be thankful to God for the way in which he saves you, surrounds you, has people there, the way he sings and has songs. Verse 19 is an invitation. Did you get yours? Has it come in the mail yet? Do you know that you're supposed to be thankful? Verse 19 says, open to me the gates of righteousness. I shall enter through them. I shall give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous will enter through it. The psalmist continues the call for God's people to come into his presence through the gate, probably into the temple, into the city, into the presence of Almighty God, and give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His loving kindness is everlasting. And then look, he says in verse 21, I shall give thanks to you, for you have answered me. You have become my salvation. He does a personal thanksgiving. He says, I'm going to give thanks among the people of God while we're all in with these gates. And then a little later, he goes from the personal thanksgiving to what I'm calling a popular thanksgiving. And he says, that we should all, let us rejoice. Verse 24, let us rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day which the Lord has made. You see, verse 22, 24, and 26 are very familiar verses to anybody who's been in church for any period of time. Verse 22, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. Right? That's Jesus, right? I mean, it's specifically applied to him in the New Testament. We know that. Leon Patillo, if you're that old, sang a song, Cornerstone. I think we might have sang it here once in a while. Verse 22, this is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I mean, we have kids' songs that, you know, this is the day that, right? I mean, I'm not off. I mean, you have sung that, right? I mean, you do know that one, right? See, you've been in church a while. You know. You've been exposed to Psalm 118. You didn't even know it. What about verse 26? Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. That's the triumphal entry at Easter, Palm Sunday. See, these are familiar verses to us that give us and draw us into, at least for the psalm, and where the psalmist is coming from, understanding and knowing Almighty God and getting with the Thanksgiving program. It's not only a personal Thanksgiving, but it's popular, it's communal, it's corporate. And so, beloved, here's the application. You cannot travel for Thanksgiving. You have got to be here in this building at 9:30 a.m. because I will ask you, how's that? Is that good? You're not going anywhere? What are you thankful for? And it's a time where we corporately come together and say, I'm thankful for this. And I'm thankful for that. Now, you can go the next day. Just go the day after. Just go on Friday. Don't go on Thursday. Come here. Everybody's got such a serious face on right now. What on earth? Get with the Thanksgiving program. His loving kindness is everlasting. And then look at, this is where we're ending. Maybe a communal and corporate. Look at verses 27 to 29. This is, after all of this, after the call and the invitation, the response, after the personal testimony of his distresses and highly lifting God up and who he is, and then saying, I'm going to enter in and give thanks, and inviting us in and telling us that we all should rejoice and be glad with God. Verses 27 to 29. And this is a beautiful conclusion. The Lord is God, and he has given us light. In all of your celebration, bind the festival sacrifices with cord to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I give thanks to you. You are my God, I extol you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His loving kindness is everlasting. How high, as a result of all of that, Almighty God is. He is up. Up. And his loyal love is absolutely inspiring. Let us pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the time that we could spend in your word, being encouraged and hearing from the psalmist on how it is that we should give thanks to you for your loving kindness in all things. Lord, help us this day to take one more step to be inspired by your loyal love, to respond with thanksgiving, to tell someone about how magnificent you are and the marvelous things you have done in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.